With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to the SC Report podcast. Nick here, back after a little break last week, and Joe Fitz on the other end of the line. Mate, it's been a little while since you and I have been on the pod, but we're back. We got the A-team back together for the second last week.
We are, mate. We'll knock a bit of rust off just in time for the grand final, the head-to-head grand finals next week, and yeah, bringing the podcast home for the Supercoach year.
Yep, definitely, mate. And scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in Supercoach at the moment?
Just like I wrote in the team's analysis, at about 17 minutes past 6 p.m. on Friday, I went from about a 7 to a 2 because I took the armband off Turbo at the last second. Oh. I think he was on 105 after 17 minutes of game time. So I took the dogs for a nice long walk.
What a joke. buddy. Obviously, we both own him. Neither of us captained him. And then the last 5 minutes of just pure junk. The most junkiest points you could ever get with a line break assist, try assist, and then a line break try at the death with the game with no hope of winning the game. It was just all junk, basically.
Yeah. Then obviously it's better than if we didn't own him, like Wilfred doesn't. But yeah, mate, that 120 points cost me many, many hundreds of spots, and I'm on the outside looking in with the key ring. So where are we ranked, mate? Give us a reminder.
Yeah, mate, you're 1463. I am 1702. Wenin is 3034. Wilfred is 3180. Daniel, who does the captain's article, he's 2-1-2-1. And yeah, mate, it's none of us are in key rings, actually. Sangster and Copes are in key ring. Langy's friend from work, Wenin's friend from work, JT, he's in key ring range, but none of the rest of us are. I mean, we're not far off. I'm about 100 points off. Or sorry, 150. You're about 100 off. So it's still doable, but we need a few things to go our way.
Yeah, mate, definitely need the captains to go right. I think it'd be the first time in a couple of years that the Telly boys have knocked us over, if that's what's going to be the case in the end. We've got a pretty competitive league that we're all in. So, yeah, mate, there's lots of trash talk, never a dull moment.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's knock it out, mate. Let's do team news, captain, start, set, trades, and get out of here and enjoy the last 2 weeks of the season. Mate, since you're the teams man, do you want to just quickly go through any Supercoach relevant from this weekend?
Yeah, not too much stuff in terms of team news, really. Tigers have flipped Matt Eisenhuth back into the starting lineup. Elijah Taylor's out, and Lawrence is back for, you know, whether he makes it through the game before getting injured or not, who the hell knows. Manly, Jack Gosiewski's gone. Sorry, he's back. With Winterstein dropped, I don't think anyone's kept Gosiewski as a cash cow this late in the season. Warriors and Penrith, I think this will actually be a cracker of a game, but the Warriors have got Blake Green out and Mason Lino is in. But good news for people like me who held Tohu Harris is back. We'll have to check final team so to see whether he actually gets a start or if he's off the bench, because that'll determine whether or not he's worthwhile, you know, in our top 17. I think just given how a lot of our forwards have been going, Tohu might be worth a roll of the dice. Do you have Peach, by the way, mate, speaking of Penrith?
No, didn't go him in the end. And he's out of fullback this week.
Yeah, so he's moved to 5'8", which is... yeah, but Tyrone May on the interchange. I think Peachy going to 5'8" is going to be bad news for Villamy Kikau in terms of the amount of ball he's going to get. DWZ's back at fullback and Christian Crichton's on the wing. JFH returned. Not a lot of interest there from a Supercoach perspective outside of Peachy and probably the impact on Kickout. And the last Friday night game, which is JT's final home game, I think they will be climbing off the walls up in Townsville, mate. They'll be, it'll be a cracker of an atmosphere, hopefully. Matt Scott and Tamalolo are back, and Bolton and Asiata are out. And Nathan Brown out is really the only thing of interest for the Eels. They've got a heap of ins and outs of incidental, kind of not Supercoach relevant players, unless there's something I'm missing there.
No, that's it, mate. That should be a good game on Friday night. Like you say, with Thurston's last game up north. I'll do Saturday quickly. The Raiders are playing Souths in the early game. Whitehead's back in the side. Tarpanay's done for the year with a broken thumb. For the Bunnies, Alex Johnston, Inglis, good to see him back, and Campbell Graham are all back this week. So my trade of Alex Johnston out to Mahe Fanua last week was really good. Yep.
Yeah, went the pot option with Mahe the mullet. I think actually the best thing for Alex Johnston is having Inglis back, because he attracts so much attention when they swing left. And earlier on in the year, that was the source of so many of his points. So if you did hold AJ, good work. He's absolutely a play this week, just given that, you know, anticipate that, he'll benefit from Inglis being back.
Definitely. Titans and the Storm. Will Matthews is in for the Titans. A few changes for the Storm. Justin Olam and Chase Blair are into the side. Asafa Solomona and Brandon Smith are also out. Cameron Smith has been named, but we'll have to see if he actually plays. Roosters versus Broncos is the late game. Should be a really good game. Luke Keary's back, pushing Ryan Madison to the bench. And the Broncos have got Katoni Staggs on the interchange as well. But nothing particularly Supercoach relevant in that game, except it should be a good game, that one, I think, Roosters and Broncos.
It'll be great. And I've got to say, there's been a few disappointing players this year in Supercoach, but for people like me who held Ryan Madison through that, you know, endless bloody concussion that I'm pretty sure Dave VK caused in our catch up when the last time Madison was fit up at Suncorp. I think it was like 6-7 weeks, but I held him because he was the best centre wing in the game, and then he's done absolutely nothing since he's come back. So thanks for nothing, Matto. He's the number 17 jersey, and bugger off out of my team.
Yeah, he's done nothing. Done absolutely nothing. Sunday early game, Sharks and the Knights. Dugan's at centre and Ramian is out, injured actually, which is unfortunate because a few people will have him. Wade Graham and Jaden Brayley are back. And for the Knights, Hyington is back, and that's it. Dragons and Bulldogs, Nightingale's on the wing. Jordan Pereira's on the interchange. Leeson Aumau starts. Frizzell's on the edge. And Luciano Leilua back to the interchange. He's an absolute beast.
Your boy.
My boy. Absolutely killing it after I traded him. Got some good points from him before I sold him, though. So have to be fair. And the your Doggies are 1-17.
Yeah, that's about their odds to win.
Mate, they got up over the Warriors last week.
I know, but gee, they're terrible to watch. I got it. Anyone who's been a Bulldogs member would have gotten an email through the week, one of those comprehensive member surveys, and I would not want to be the low-paid employee having to read some of the survey results, mate, because I know I absolutely gave it to them. The club's an absolute shambles at the moment. So, anyone who works for the Doggies who's reading this, apologies in advance for some of the vitriol that's about to come your way.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough. All right, let's roll into captains. The most popular captains so far are Damian Cook at 19%, Tamalolo at 8%, Smithy at 7%, Tommy Turbo at 6%, and Valentine Holmes and Jake Trbojevic at 3%. In terms of the odds, so the Sharkies are the heaviest favourite at $1.36, followed by the Storm at $1.44, into the Cowboys at $1.50. So, mate, I'm thinking Valentine Holmes is a good option. I think, Sangster and that were talking about Tamalolo. He's probably a good option after that week off.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Damien Cook, potentially. Souths are $1.57 favourites against Canberra. I like that option. I like Tommy Turbo, obviously, on Thursday night, tomorrow night, as VC against the Tigers. Tigers a little bit tougher than some of these other teams and actually pretty heavy favourites in that game. But I think away from Lotto Land, I wouldn't be expecting a huge score from Tommy, but I think he's worth a VC option alongside, Holmes, Taumalolo, Damien Cook. They would be my three picks for captain. How about you?
Yeah, that's probably fair. I think that, Taumalolo for mine is the obvious one, just given, Parramatta have been fairly soft up the middle this year, and Nathan Brown's out as well. Taumalolo's had a rest, be looking for, some pretty big minutes in what will be an emotional game. It's hard sometimes to, this is a data-driven game. It's all about the numbers, so it's hard to get too much into the, they'll be up for this game, but I think it'll be a real case when you've got a legend playing his last home game. So, Taumalolo, I think it'd be a big one, or, for the sentimental people. I know a bunch of us traded Corey Parker in for his last game at Suncorp, 2 or 3 years back, and I think some people who've done that for JT wouldn't be the worst idea if you slap the armband on him, because if he's ever going to get up and have a big one, it'll be this weekend.
Yeah, agreed, yep. Bit of a left field selection, but why not give it a crack at this time of the season? Start sit. So, some of these guys that I've got on the list here are sort of, guns or have been guns this year, but they're falling off late in the season. It's a question now of who do you start and who don't you start, obviously. I've got here Smithy, Fifita, Arrow, and then Aitken and Ponga out in the outside backs. So I haven't started Smith the last 2 weeks, and at the moment I'm not going to play him this week either.
I had to play him last week, and he was about 37 points in 33 minutes or something like that before he went off injured, so he was doing well. But that back injury means is even if he is fit for this week, he's unlikely to rack up too many run meters himself. So I'm not keen for Smithy at all. Jai Arrow is a really interesting one because it's usually the niggling injuries he gets that causes his minutes to plummet. But it was actually Mitch Rain getting heaps of minutes in the middle that kind of cut his minutes short this week. So you just can't trust Arrow, certainly not as a captaincy option, but even just kind of in your 17 on that fringe, it's a big problem. Ponga at 5'8", I think, is a bit less attractive there. So I think you have to play him just for the upside. But Aitken's a definite no, mate. He's been on the nose for... I'm pretty sure it's actually Latrell Mitchell might have killed him. Four or five ago where he just embarrassed him. And, Aitken had a reputation as one of the best defensive centres in the game. He got his lunch money stolen and he's not been the same since.
Yeah, he's been absolutely killing my team. I picked him up post-buys. Yep, great. Dragons got a great draw to finish the season. Awesome, Aitken, Widdop, these guys are going to carve up. And then Widdop's obviously injured, but before he got injured, he was shit. He's under 400K. Aitken's under 400K as well, and they're just absolute jokes, mate. I won't be getting any Dragons after round 10 next year because they're choke artists.
Five round average of 41, you and Aitken, and everyone was loading up on the Dragons because they had a so-called soft schedule on the run home. It's just, picking players bought into schedule. That just has not worked out at all this year. No. You talked about the Bulldogs sneaking some, you know, games away. You know, ordinarily you'd look at the Bulldogs as a tasty matchup and have actually played well and limited some of the Supercoach guns playing them. So, yeah, picking against matchups just has not worked at all.
No, it doesn't work. I'm not doing it ever again. I'll just be picking players on, yeah, you know, whoever's best player and not considering the matchups because I don't think it matters, to be honest. Anyone else who you're sort of borderline? I'm not too sure on Kakao this week. Only scored 38 last week. Should go okay against the Warriors. Not the best defensive side in the comp, obviously, by any means. And I'll probably start Kakao over Arrow and Smith, I think. But not as confident on him as I have been in over sort of last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, both Carlos the Dwarf and I in our articles, the buy sell hold and the team's analysis talked about how crappy the front row forward guns have been in the last few weeks. So I'm actually strongly considering playing Ryan James over Marty Tapau. His minutes have just fallen off a cliff, and he does go through those stretches where Trent Barrett doesn't play in big minutes at all, and he just goes completely off the boil. So I think it was 33 minutes on the weekend, and you're just not going to pump out scores with that. So, yeah, much safer bet if you've got a Ryan James there, but lots of people have got Kikau. Sam Burgess, who's been terrible of late as well, Marty Tapau there, so you're screwed. You've really got to kind of just pick your poison.
Yeah. Okay, so just to be clear, I was talking about Kikau and you were talking about Tapau. But that's
yeah, fine. Yeah, mate.
We covered both the players, so that works.
Was talking front row forwards in general, okay, mate. Okay. So, yeah, I know a lot of people that have got Kikau in the front row because, you know, second row forwards pretty stacked. So, mate, it's called a segue. You know, try and stick with me.
You need to actually use a linking word or linking sentence. You can't just randomly start talking about a completely different person.
It was the words ending in "ow." Kikau to power. That's how it works, buddy.
All right, let's. I mean, next on the agenda is trade talk. But how many people have actually got trades left?
I would only think it's people that are in pretty sizable cash head-to-head leagues would be the only people. And there's actually not that much attractive. If you don't have Valentine Holmes, you want to get on him. If you don't have Talalolo, get on him. Tommy Turbo the same. But all the people that have the heaviest trade in this week are all really highly owned guys. Sean Johnson, et cetera, et cetera. Nathan Cleary, Jake Turbo. So, I haven't had trades, I think, for 2 weeks. I don't know about yourself.
Yeah. My last trade was a couple of weeks ago. Well, last week, actually, when I sold Johnston for Fanua. So that was good. That was real good. But people are selling, you know, the injured players, Widop, Tarpane, Nathan Brown, Ramian. People are selling Vunivalu and Madison. Obviously, Aitken's been heavily sold. Cameron Smith and Ponga are probably interesting ones. You know, if we look at it, people are probably selling Ponga for Valentine Holmes, which potentially makes sense. Holmes has got a nice matchup against the Knights this week. Ponga, conversely, has a tough matchup in the same game against the Sharks, and he's injured. He's sort of limping towards the end of the season, so I can completely see why people would want to get Holmes in for these last two rounds. I'm not sure who people are selling Smithy for, though. There's no one hooker on the top 10 most traded in. Surely people have got Damien Cook by now. People could be, you know, maybe making a late charge for a Farah or McInnes or someone like that, maybe.
Yeah, or nothing him out so you can afford a gun, you know, in another spot. But obviously that's two trades and, you know, you and I are talking about not having one between us for the last 2 or 3 weeks. If you've got two trades you've been sitting on, well, yeah, good luck to you. But that's the only thing I can think of with Cameron Smith there. Interestingly, a few people just on the side have been talking about Kurt Mann as a sneaky pot option. I know I brought him in for that final buy round anticipating that – you know, Ben Hunt would play Origin and therefore Mann would you know, play in the halves and do real well, but obviously got stuck on the wing and then dropped to the interchange again, but started at 5'8 on the weekend and killed it. So, you know, for a comparatively low price, you're a pretty sneaky pot option. 275K there is not so bad.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. If you're still sitting with a Widdop or someone like that, you know, potentially you could make a move there. A lot of people would probably be running Johnson and Cleary as their two halves, but running Mann off the bench as one of your four reserves, potentially not the worst option. Hopefully the Dragons perform well against the Dogs and he can get some more points.
Yeah, and I think if you're out of, you know, if head-to-head means nothing to you and you're not in the cash league, but you are within kind of shouting distance of getting a key ring or, you know, a particular milestone, if you've had a shocker of a year and it's the top 5,000 you want to make, or, you know, whatever, even, you know, top kind of 300 or whatever your kind of goal is, go for pot options. Don't bloody, you know, captain Damien Cook like everyone else, because you're just not going to move up the rankings. You know, throw caution to the wind a little bit. You know, have a bit of fun with this week, because otherwise there's not a lot of point kind of playing all the way to the end if there isn't something a bit different and a bit exciting. So I would advocate going for a pot option. Definitely is VC, if not, you know, putting the gold armband on someone that's a bit left field.
Yeah, fair enough. So you're saying that I should play Tamari Martin this week after he scored 11 last week?
Well, hey, Corey Oates scored 10 2 weeks ago and then backed it up with 120 last week, mate. So, you know, if you think of it that way, Tamari Martin's probably due, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Probably right. Hey, I'm just interesting, you know, just to wrap up the podcast, I'm looking here at the top 20 scorers for the year in terms of players. So, you know, a lot of names that we've all got in there, but a couple of interesting names. At number 13, Aiden Guerra has scored the 13th most Supercoach points this year out of anyone.
It's been a pretty successful move up there. I know he wasn't even on the radar for Origin, which was a little bit odd given, you know, Queensland's early series form. But he's been hovering around the 600K mark for most of the year. Round average of 81, 5-round average of 74. But, you know, I think everyone's just anticipated that, you know, he was going to drop off after getting some attacking stats. But, yeah, he's been plugging away, much like Lachlan Fitzgibbon has been in the last couple of years as well for Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. McInnes at number 15, I didn't realise he was that high up as well. So that's a pretty solid year for him. And then Isaiah Yeo sneaking into the top 20. In terms of total points, obviously playing every game has helped him in comparison to others. I mean, he's not going to be in the top 20 on average, averaging only 57. But total points for the year, top 20, that's pretty solid by old Isaiah Yeo.
He's a very sneaky pick if you play the draft version of Supercoach. Mm. I always try and target him every year because he's pretty unfashionable. But, yeah, he'll always kind of crank out between 55 and 60 week in, week out. So, yep, good pick for draft, but, yeah, he stinks it up for Supercoach because there's no value.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you saw it by average, obviously the list changes a little bit, but, I mean, the top 5, 6, 7, they all make a lot of sense. Robbie Farris sneaks in there with only the 9 games. Ryan James, number 14. Josh Hodgson, only the 9 games as well. Tarpane in the top 20. And Manasseh Finu, top 20 average, 63 in 7 games. He's increased in price by 300K.
That's Jesus. Well, I'm just about the only person that beats that is, like, I know, you know, Trent Copeland, you know, is really trying to push the God 2.0 nickname, but I think people properly need to appreciate how incredible Reece Martin's season's been. The Dogs are absolute pants this year, and he's come in mid-year. The bloke's averaging the third highest average in the whole of Supercoach, yeah, only behind Tommy Turbo and Damien Cook. He's increased 427K. Just an absolutely phenomenal rookie season and really one of the best mid-season cash cows ever, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he's had a great year. Damien Cook's up 340K. Jai Arrow obviously up 216. Smithy's down 177K on the year, having a bit of a shocker at the end of the year. But Viliami Kikau, mate, he's up 373K. Kikau's got to be close to to MVP for the year, I think, alongside or in a close race with Damien Cook.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Reece Martin's probably the only one that's increased more than Kikau because with the 427 there. But it's actually like the funny thing this year is that cash hasn't been a problem for any of us. Like, we've all got a fistful of guns in our team because there's been so many great cash cows. The problem is that none of the bloody guns are performing. So, it's been such a topsy-turvy year. But, look, mate, 2 weeks to go, we can get up for it and, you know, I think you and I are about the only shot of the keyring out of the SC Talk boys. So, yeah, it's on our shoulders, mate.
Mate, I'll give it a try. I don't think I'm much of a shot, but I'll, we'll see what happens. But I've pretty much resigned myself to the fact that I will go keyringless again for the third season in a row.
Oh, well, this would be my third consecutive keyring, mate. So you've got to listen a bit more often.
All right, mate, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for jumping on the pod. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Cheers, buddy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.